In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. In today's gospel, Jesus he raises a dead man back to life to give him to his mother. And I am really touched by this, that our Lord is not doing this for the dead man, but for the mother. He has compassion on her, not the dead man. This poor woman is a widow. Her only son is dead. And this only son was her life support. This was what she lived for, was this child. She has given her life to this child, and now this child is taken from her. And Christ has compassion on her. And so this young man is called back to life and given to his mother. And I'd like to point out that our life is never our own. I know the world today is telling us that you're your own person, your own man, your own woman. Stand on your own two feet. Nobody can tell you what to do. And it's my life and I can do with it whatever I want. They tell young women they can get abortions because it's your body and you can do whatever you want with your body. And I'd like to point out some basic catechism that our little children have learned or will be learning. That we must love God with our entire heart, our entire soul, our entire being, more than we love ourselves. And then the second commandment, we must love our neighbor as we love ourselves. We're all interconnected. My life is not my own. It was given to me by God. And I'm going to have to give an account of this life on the day of judgment. God is going to ask me, what did you do with the life that I've given you? What did you do with all the graces that I've given you? This life wasn't yours to do with what you will. Your Creator has something in mind when He gave it to you. Are we living up to what God has in mind when He gave us our life? And He gave us our life not for ourselves, but He has given us our life for someone else. And so we don't exist in this island, in this isolation. We exist in a community. We exist with one another. The son in today's gospel was given life for his mother. The mother's life was given for her son. The wife's life is lived for her husband. The husband's life is lived for his wife. It's never our own, and we're never free to do with our lives, with our bodies, whatever we want. We will have to give an account. The world, the devil says, go ahead, do whatever you want. You're not hurting anybody but yourself. And I think that is the very wrong message to send to especially our young people today. I look around and think of so many suicides. Did the suicide actually think about the people that will be hurt by his or her actions? Do they ever think of anyone else besides themselves? Oh yes, their pain is severe, they feel isolated, they feel alone, but they are never alone. They're not thinking about those who are going to suffer after they take their own life. It's not your own life to take or to give. It's God's. It belongs to God. And He demands the absolute right over that when He gives us the fifth commandment, thou shalt not kill. That includes killing yourself. It's not your life. It's God's life that He has given to you. You have the right over it, but with every right, there are corresponding obligations. What is that they say? There is nothing free. And so our life, first of all, belongs to God. And what we do with it, we'll have to answer to God. Secondly, our life belongs to our neighbors. Those around us, those whom we live with, those whom we love, those who love us, our lives belong to them. And we must live our life for them. Just as much as we live our life for ourselves. And I know that, especially here in America, the idea of independence, standing on our own two feet, all of that's important. But I ask you, really consider it. How many young men, how many young women, how many young couples can stand on their own two feet from day one without having to go back to mom and dad? Can you help me? I need a loan, I need to pay this bill, I need a babysitter, I need a ride. We all are interconnected, we need someone else around us. And you say, well, I don't need any of that. I say, okay. How many things in your home were made in China? Made in Mexico? Made in the USA by people you don't know. Do you need those things? Your microwave that was made in China, assembled in Mexico, and shipped to you, and now you have it there in your kitchen. Do you need that? If you say yes, then you are dependent upon those people in China, those people in Mexico, the truckers who drove it back and forth and delivered it, the shipping industry. You need it. You're depending on others whom you don't even know. The food that you eat, except for the eggs that you get from brother, where did those eggs come from? Where did that meat come from? Where did that milk come from? Do you know the name of the farmer who feeds his cows every day so that you can have that milk? Milks his cows every day, works 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Do you know his name? Do you know where he lives? Do you know where this milk came from? You need it. You are dependent. And I say to you, you go off to work. What about the fruits of your labor? Do you know who is benefiting from this down the road? Down the line? We are all interconnected. Our lives are not our own. We're not really free to do whatever we want. This young man was given his life, but on the return of his life, he handed our Lord, God Himself, handed this young man's life to his mother. He gave the son back to his mother. Because his mother was suffering. Because of his mother's prayer, this young man was given life. This young man owes his life not only to God, but to his mother who prayed to God. To his mother who mourned over his loss. He was given a second chance here on earth. He owes that life to his mother. His life belongs to his mother, you might say. The mother's success in this world, her life in this world, is dependent upon the son. She's going to need him to support her, to protect her, to be that strength that she needs, especially in her old age. Her life is given in his hands. The love that is ours, first of all, belongs to God, then to ourselves, and then to our neighbor. The life that we have, first of all belongs to God, and then to ourselves, and then to our neighbors. The body that we have here on this earth, first of all belongs to God, then to ourselves, and then to our neighbors. We are not our own. And all of this, I believe, is condensed in those two great commandments, that we must love God with our whole heart, mind, and soul, even more than we love ourselves, and then we must love our neighbor as we love ourselves. We need to pull away from the selfishness, the egotism, and truly humble ourselves and begin to appreciate the gifts that are all around us. When we thank God for all the gifts that He's given us, we can begin to thank Him for the transportation, all those who work in transportation that brought these gifts to us, for the farmers, for the manufacturers, even those we don't know, all those along the entire line, they're all interconnected. You take out one of them and we would not have this gift. And so as we thank God for the gift, we also need to thank Him for those who have made this gift possible. Those who have perhaps even given their life so that we can have these things. And we can pray for one another, even those we don't see, those we don't know. We need to look beyond ourselves, beyond our families, and then to realize, not only must I be grateful for all those around me, but I must become a worthwhile human being. I must do something for the world in which I live in. Not so that I can become rich and have it for me, and have the world serve me, but I have to give something back to the world. I'm in debt. And spiritually, I think we need to reflect on that more often. Perhaps little children realize the debt that they owe. Maybe they don't realize the debt they owe to their parents. Children aren't cheap. Children are very expensive. They eat a lot. Isn't that right, Philomena? And then they get sick and have to go to the doctor. And then you got to put clothes on them. You got to give them a house with a roof over their head. Heat in the winter, and if you really spoil them, you have air conditioning in the summer, or at least a box fan. Children owe a lot to their parents. They owe a lot to society, providing them with an education, providing them with health care. All the wonderful things that these children take for granted have come at a price. We come into this world indebted to our mother, to our father, to the society in which we were born. I hear a lot, you know, about our white privilege, our American privilege. Everybody's privileged. You're privileged to be alive. I don't dismiss that. We should all acknowledge our privileges we've received, and we should be grateful. I have been privileged to be born here in the great United States, and the great Commonwealth of Kentucky, to live in this great Commonwealth. Yep, it's got a lot of faults. It's got a lot of defects. There's a lot of things that are wrong. But nonetheless, it has given us a lot. We have been truly blessed by God, by the nation, by our state, by our community, by our parents, by the environment we live in. First of all, we must be grateful to God and then to all those around us. And we must love all those around us. And perhaps what is the most bitter pill to swallow is I must love my enemy. I must do good to those who try to hurt me, who try to injure me. I'm not supposed to render evil for evil. Why? Because I'm supposed to love them. They're my brother, my sister. And somehow in this great chain of events that God has arranged, this person, the very life that they live, is for my benefit. And I must live my life for their benefits. We become one. We are united in Christ. And what happens to one member of the body is good for the entire body or bad for the entire body. We must really stop to think that we are not alone. What we do has ramifications in the grand scheme of everything. And that without us, the world will suffer. With us, the world will suffer or the world will be blessed. We all have something good to bring to the table, and we must make sure that what we bring is good, not just for ourselves, but for everyone. Good for the greater honor and glory of God. Good for our nation, our state, our country, the world, our family, our neighbors, and yes, even our enemies. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendet super vos et maniat semper. Amen.